Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Get Healthy Now with Denise Thompson, founder and CEO of Miko Knight Health and Wellness Company. I am an author, speaker, educator, nurse, and definitely passionate about healthy, happy, and balanced living. Today's topic is, how does stress affect your health? And I'm going to start with a question. Did you know that 75 to 90% of all doctor's office visits are for stress-related ailments and complaints? 75 to 90% of all doctor's office visits are for stress-related ailments and complaints. That is a huge number. Now, why do you think I'm stressing this? I know of more than one doctor, actually, in the world who has decided to first become a minister, a priest, a pastor, a religious counselor before they became medical doctors because of that statistic. They know that when our emotions, when our body is balanced, when our mind is balanced, that we do not have that many illnesses or accidents or things. These usually happen as a result of stress. So how does actually stress, how does this happen? What's going on with it? And you know, this is chapter 3 of 15. I'm going to go through my book that I'm writing right now to give you a little preview. So stress releases cortisol in your body, which raises blood pressure, cholesterol level, causes heart attacks, clogs arteries or veins, makes it difficult to breathe, causes weight gain. It does not take long to raise the cortisol level, but it takes a long time to get it down again. So when we look at that, we have to wonder, what is going on? I mean, I did mention some of the symptoms that stress causes, which then creates some of the diseases. That's the same word as disease, but if you take the D-I-S and make a space between disease, then this means comfortable. It's against. So if you're not in ease, you're against ease, which is disease. So looking at that and knowing that the cortisol level, which rises very quickly in your body, can cause high blood pressure, high blood sugar. It definitely causes tension in the body, which then usually lead to headaches or migraines. The tension and the lack of easy blood flow clogs the arteries, or just the mere fact that we have high cholesterol in the body that clogs arteries. Weight gain is such a nasty thing in this regard, because it's not just that we gain weight, but usually it's also related to having difficulty in breathing. It changes our attitude. We don't fit the beautiful clothes we used to have. Everything changes, causing tension again. It is definitely a catch-22. It is a devil's circle. So what can we do to actually reduce stress? Well, before I go there, and I did mention, what it causes, headaches, high blood pressure, heart problems, diabetes, even skin condition, asthma, arthritis, depression, anxiety, and so forth. And I found a document from OSHA that stated that stress costs the American industry more than $300 billion, that's with a B, annually. Picture this. Stress alone causes or costs the American industry more than $3 billion annually. That is so expensive. When you look at the zeros, that is 300,000,000. And that is just amazing. It might even have three more zeros. Yeah, I think it has three more zeros. And when you look at that long number and relate that to dollars and divide that into the people who live in the USA, man, this is expensive. So why did I mention the symptoms above? How can we do anything about it? So I did mention it's released through the cortisol level. That's what's causing all this. But tips on how to reduce stress. And I'm just going to give you a few because I don't want to give the whole book away. But have you heard of guided imagery? By picturing something peaceful, something pleasant, something that makes you feel warm and cozy and cuddly, that reduces stress. Of course, daily exercise reduces stress. And I can't just tell you from my personal experiences last weekend. For some odd reason, I ended up in the ER because my left leg was so excruciatingly painful, especially behind the knee. And quite often, that is the first sign of having, which then turn into embolisms or thrombosis. And so they wanted to make sure it wasn't that. And I tell you, by having heard that I could have blood clots, knowing what they can do, because I told you I was a nurse before. Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not prescribing anything. I'm giving you information that could be very valuable to you or friends of yours or family members of yours. And that's what I'm here to share, to create an awareness and for you to then discuss it with your doctor if you have any concerns. But anyway, having been at that emergency room and heard the doctors talk about, ooh, that could be blood clots. She could go into an embolism, blah, blah, blah. I go, okay, no. So they did a very thorough ultrasound that was specifically for veins and arteries. And before I checked out, I was told they could not find anything. But we needed to go further, to go to the root of the issue. See, all these things were just to treat symptoms. The pain is still there. And I'm still walking around and moving around in a wheelchair right now because I can't walk. I'm happy. I'm healthy otherwise. And I'm feeling really great. But I'm feeling so much better knowing that I do not have to stress about blood clots. And that is also the reason that I don't have any blood clots, because I exercise daily. It does not matter what my pain level is, if it's an 8, a 9, or a 10, or if it's a 1, which I don't know what it is right now. But anyway, I go to the pool every day, and I walk and move and exercise for at least half an hour to an hour every day. And the doctors at the ER said that was the best thing I could do, keeping active. So, of course, I'm doing it. I went to a follow-up doctor just 2 days ago, and she also said, I was worried about blood clots, but you already told me they checked and there was nothing there. It was negative. So, well, there could be this, there could be that. I go, okay. And she goes, why are you so happy? I go, well, doctor, there are only two options in life. One is to be a sourpuss, cranky, frowning, using 34 muscles in your face to show that you're TO'd, and it only makes you feel older and worse. Or the other one, don't take yourself too seriously. The issues, yes, follow up, follow through, do what's needed, but not yourself, because the issue is not really you. It's just a part of you, and you can just work with it and work it out without getting all stressed. And so I said, I'd rather be happy and use only 17 muscles in my face smiling, which allows me to smile twice as much than being angry for the same number of muscles used. And it helps me to release the positive endorphins, the ones that help me heal. And she goes, I wish more patients were like this. This is amazing. I go, well, no, there's nothing amazing about it. It's just attitude, and it's the way I actually decide my day is going to be before I even get out of bed in the morning. I thank my higher good. I thank my God for having had a good night, for being able to get up happy and healthy, for having a great day, a roof over the head, clothes on the back, food on the table. For me now, transportation to get around on the second floor where I live and where the kitchen is and everything else, and on the bottom floor where some other things are and where you get in and out of the house. And I have that electric chair to get up and down, all tools that are amazing. And they work. And it's just a joy to see what we all can do, even with a little, you know, mental, physical handicap, whatever it is. So for the reasons that I'm talking about, the tips on how to reduce, and I think I mentioned it before, stress and health are intertwined. So whenever you reduce stress, with whichever method you use that works for you, you automatically increase health in some areas. So I personally think it'd be kind of futile and not very wise not to use the benefits that we can use to actually reduce the stress and increase the health at the same time. So I did mention for the tips, guided imagery. For me, it works to see myself at the ocean under an umbrella, you know, covered in sunscreen so I don't have any exposure to UVA, which are ultraviolet aging rays, and UVB, which are ultraviolet burning rays, because I don't want to get skin cancer. I listen to the waves. I enjoy the breeze. It's just so peaceful. Maybe I even hear some children singing and playing and having fun. And happiness, definitely a way of relaxation for me. I did tell you I exercise daily, which was a huge compliment I got from the ER doctor and the podoctor I went to for the follow-up. I am definitely focusing on healthy nutrition, which includes or excludes, in this case, sugar, too many carbs, too much of anything. Because when we think or know that our stomach originally was the size of our fist, and when we look at the plates of food we eat, which is much more, it has to expand the stomach walls, make it bigger so it can fit the food. And that then starts creating weight gain. So if we actually budget our meals with a healthy nutrition, maybe 3 snacks and 3 small meals, and mostly green foods or veggies, broccoli, cucumbers, things that are healthy for us. Not too much tomatoes, because tomatoes are actually a fruit and they have a lot of sugar in them. And the sugar, again, can convert when it's used up into the cortisol level, which we don't want. So I say stay away from sugars. Have plenty of hydration. Presently, my schedule is this. Around 7, I have a small protein shake. At 10, I have a bar. At 1, I have a protein shake. At 4, I have a bar. And at 7 o'clock or when I get home from the gym, I have a green, lean, mean, delicious meal. Lots of green veggies, lots of broccoli. And either mostly some chicken. If I don't have chicken, I put a little bit of cheese on it, or maybe an egg or two or something like that. But I stay away from the breads and the pastas and the rice and the potatoes, because they're very high in starch right now. And what I noticed is that when we reduce our weight, we have less joint issues. And I had talked about that with the doctor at the ER. I said, you know, I know I need to release weight. And he looked at me kind of funny. I said, well, I don't want to lose it. He goes, why? I go, because then I'm going to look for it again. It's a play with words. For some people it works, for others it doesn't. Do what works for you. As I said, I'm not the doctor. I was a nurse. I'm still keeping up with a lot of medical things just to keep abreast with everything that's happening. But for me, words make a huge difference in how I perceive things, and perception is usually very important. So I say, no, I don't want to lose weight, because then I go look for it. It's just kind of like you lose your car key or you lose your house key and you go, oh my goodness, where is it? And you start stressing and looking and searching, and then finally you find it. But in the meantime, without you even eating anything, your cortisol level went up so high that it spiked and it started converting muscle into fat. It's spiking and causing weight gain. And so instead of doing that, I release. I let it go peacefully, joyfully. And when you release, be it anger, weight, or anything, that means you're not looking for it again. You are perfectly fine with it. So another thing is with the hydration, I drink just about every hour 8 ounces of water. And it's easiest to do it that way, every hour on the hour for me, because then I know, oh, it's time for 8 ounces of water. So I get to my 90 to 100 ounces of water a day. Because my stomach does need to be filled, and the toxins that are still in the body need to be washed out. And by drinking good, healthy water, that's a really wonderful detoxing. So, I said stay away from sugar. Breathing. Oh my. What does breathing have to do with reducing stress? Everything. So, just a few techniques on breathing to make you aware of what actually works and what doesn't work. When you breathe, sucking up the air and raising your shoulders and your chest and down, that's superficial breathing. You are not using all your organs, all your tools that you have available to take a healthy, deep breath. However, when you put your hands to your sides and you touch the middle fingers over your belly button and you breathe in deeply and you feel that your hands are spreading and then you hold, you count for 4 seconds to go in. I like 4, 2, 8. 4 seconds to breathe in, 2 seconds to hold, and 8 seconds to breathe out. So when you do that, it actually works your diaphragm. That's what you're working with. That is actually the strongest organ in your body to regulate the air. You use it for singing, you use it for talking, you use it when you jog. Instead of shallow breaths on top of your lungs, at the, like off in the throat, or like you're hyperventilating. When you breathe through your stomach, as I said, your diaphragm, and always breathe in through your nose, hold for 2 seconds, and then double the count out from the count that you took in. So if you do the in count to 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, that was all in through the nose, hold for 2 counts, 1, 2, and then exhale to the count of 8 through your mouth. You can even make a sound. It helps you exhale even more and deeper, and it is so relaxing. You have no idea how many times a day I do that. Just when I feel like, oh, wait a minute, you're teaching people not to stress. What's just happening to you? Okay, calm down, stand up or sit tall, and take that deep breath. And I usually do it 3 times, very slowly, so I get the most out of it. And it's been helping me tremendously. I know it helped the people that I was able to talk to. I think I mentioned it once that I had a gentleman in a courthouse who was waiting to be called for jury duty or to be let go. And it was literally a whole day's process. We had to be there at 9, and we finally were let go by 3 and saying, okay, you're considered having served, but we don't need you. Thank you so much. Well, for him, it was a day's worth of work that he lost and did not get paid for. And he had a family of, I think there were 4 or 5 totally, but one of the children has medical needs, and he started hyperventilating. And I said, okay, sir, would you allow me to do some breathing techniques with you? It's not going to harm you, but it could, and it most likely will help you. And he was so happy that I did it. And when he was done, he looked at me and goes, oh my gosh, I don't even need my anxiety pill right now. I feel so calm. And I said, that is so wonderful, sir. I really applaud you for allowing me to do that with you and for experiencing it. Please use this technique as often as you need during the day to just help yourself out. Another one that I have not mentioned yet, another one that's a tip on how to reduce stress, is to sleep well and deep. And usually my pulmonary doctor says it's best to sleep no later than 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. That's like 11 hours. And I looked at her and said, is that math or is there a reason behind it? And she goes, oh, you're so quick. Well, the hours before midnight actually count double when you're really asleep. Deep and well sleep. So when you go to bed from 10 to midnight and you really sleep well, it counts like 4 hours instead of only 2. And then midnight to 7, you have another 7 hours. So that's why she came up with 11 instead of 9 hours. If you go to bed at 9 and you're asleep by 9 or 9:15 and you get up at 6, you have 12 hours of sleep. So it really depends on what you can do and how things are happening. All right, so having said that, I want to offer you a free gift just for listening. And parts of it you can access for free, and parts of it you can then decide whether it's worth it for you to sign up or not. But the link is http://get.myBrainSolutions.com/consumer-stress/GCLID=COS, all capital and then lowercase QRA, number 7, etc. You can see it on the transcript, and you can just click on the link. I made it a cyber link, so you can actually click on it. And then you can see what you can access for free. And if anything appeals to you, you can sign up, but you don't have to. It's entirely up to you how much you want to get out of it. So if you looked at the tags, you saw I had Get Healthy Now, Reduce Stress, Increase Health, Tips, Daily Exercise, Hydration, Health, Nutritious, Healthy Nutritious Meals, Avoid Sugars, Spend on Stress, What OSHA Says About Stress. So you can, you know, I covered pretty much everything. So now, having given you a little bit of insight into this subject on how stress does actually affect your health, I'm going to tell you that next week we're going to talk about how does stress affect your business, because there's a big thing about that. So next week, on the 22nd, it's going to be how does stress affect your business. So if you want to, you can already schedule that you can listen to it live, or that you can listen to it whenever you have time. But that's next week's. For right now, I'm going to say until next week, stay happy, healthy, and empowered. And if you desire to contact me, you have the link to my website, which is http://www.miklknight.com, MiklKnight.com, or you can email me at dythomson@miklknight.com, or maybe the easiest of all is to call me at 562-335-4956, leave me a voicemail or a text, or if I have time and I'm not on the call already, I might actually answer the phone personally and talk to you right then and there. Again, this is Denise Thompson, author, speaker, health coach, grief counselor, and many other things, with a lot of experiences, 40-plus years of experiences in what I'm doing. And I'm just here to share and create an awareness. And for everything, when in doubt, ask your doctor. Don't just blindly follow somebody's suggestions, even though they might be really good, and I know I'm only giving you things that truly work for me. However, everybody is an individual. Therefore, it's best to make sure you check with your doctor just to be on the safe side. All right, have a fabulous week. Until next week.